Let's pray together. Our Father, we would ask humbly that as we open your word, that the teacher, the Holy Spirit, would give us understanding and clarity and application and repentance before your word, that we might trust you, that this is the light for our path, that we would believe and affirm the truth of your word. Our Father, we are humbly before you asking that you be our teacher, that you bless the preaching and the hearing of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Please open God's word with me to two places, James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, and also Psalm 15, as we continue the series on the ninth commandment. James 4, 11 and 12, and Psalm 15. Frank Luntz reported in his book that only 23% of American teenagers know that there are 100 U.S. senators. Only 40% know that the three first words of the Constitution are, "We the people." Not even a quarter can name even one of the three branches of government. Only 42 can name all three. Fewer than 10% know the Supreme Court case that found separate but equal treatment of blacks and whites in public schools unconstitutional. It was Brown versus Board of Education. Only a quarter, 25%, know even one provision of the Fifth Amendment. And only 26% know the Constitution was written in Philadelphia. We're at a very serious, very sad time in the history of our country and our culture, that our culture doesn't know our national heritage, our culture, our tradition, our laws. In a far greater way, the Lord's people, we must know his law and what he requires from us. His law is good. It's the light to our path. It's the foundation for the Christian life. And so to that end, every year we have one of these series on one of the Ten Commandments. And this year we've been reflecting, it'll be 6 weeks on the ninth commandment, "You shall not bear false witness." Today we're looking at the ninth commandment, "You shall not bear false witness." And the application is that means there is to be no gossip and no slander. Do you know that slander or gossip is mentioned as the sin most often in the Old Testament? Psalm 101, verse 5, "Whoever slanders his neighbor in secret, him I will put to silence. Whoever has haughty eyes and a proud heart, him will I not endure." In Jesus' time, slander was considered the most grievous of sins. The rabbis declared, three things will remove a man from this world and deprive him of happiness in the world to come: idolatry, incest, and murder. But slander surpasses them all. Puritans took God's law seriously as they tried to apply it to the culture. They punished gossip with criminal court action. It won't happen today. At best, civil court case might hear libel, but you must prove the damage. The ninth commandment requires that we have nothing to do with slander and gossip. In the sermon today, we'll be using those two as synonyms. I know that there's nuances of difference. The larger Catechism 145, what sins are forbidden in the ninth commandment? And part of the answer, all prejudicing the truth and the good name of our neighbors, or perverting truth to a wrong meaning in doubtful, equivocal expressions, slandering, backbiting, detracting, talebearing, whispering, unnecessary discovering of infirmities, raising false rumors, receiving and countenancing evil reports. The list goes on. Why are we not to slander? What's the reason? And then we'll spend most of our time, how not to slander. How can we protect ourselves as God's people from this sin? First of all, why are we not to slander? And James 4, 11 and 12 gives us the reason. Listen to God's word. James 4, 11, "Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Did you hear the two reasons of why we are not to speak against one another? Why we are not to slander? James warns us to slander another person is to despise God's law. That's reason number one. And reason number two is you're despising the Lord himself. Verse 11, to slander or to gossip is to despise the law. Why is that? Well, the law forbids gossip. The law forbids slander. And the person who does it anyway says, well, I'm better than God's law. I can trump God's law. I can veto God's law. It doesn't relate to my life. I can judge it. I can criticize it. I can dismiss it. If we tolerate the sin of gossip and slander, we are judging God's law. We are saying it doesn't apply. What we have found over the years as we look at any of the Ten Commandments, how related they are to all of them, and the Ninth Commandment especially, it ties us back to all of the Ten Commandments. So to sin against, to say that we do not abide by the Ninth Commandment and gossip, we give gossip no concern, we're really breaking all of the commandments of God. The Ninth Commandment, to break the Ninth Commandment is also to break the First Commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. James 3:9 says, with our tongue we bless God our Father, and with it we curse people. These things are not to be. And so when we sin with our tongue against another person, we are sinning against our God. We are accusing someone who's made in the image of God, and so we are sinning against our neighbor. We're breaking the second. We're breaking the third commandment against someone who's made in God's likeness. To break the Ninth Commandment is also to break the Sixth Commandment, you shall not murder. The Sixth Commandment is we are not to cause harm to anyone's life. What does Leviticus 19:16 says? Do not go about as a talebearer or gossip about among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. Gossip is to harm someone's life. Therefore, it's to break the Sixth Commandment. It's the sin of murder. To gossip is also then to break the Seventh Commandment. It's likened to rape, Deuteronomy 22. Slander is to defraud. It's to steal. And so it breaks the Eighth Commandment, Leviticus 19:11. You're not to slander your people. You're robbing them of their reputation. You're robbing them of their peace of mind. God's law, the Ninth Commandment, it's related to all of them. To speak evil of another person is to despise God's law. John Calvin said, whoever bears false witness against his neighbor kills him. That's the Sixth Commandment. In essence, he robs him, Eighth Commandment, and is guilty of whatever evil proceeds from his lie. Do we realize that gossip and slander shows a rebellious heart to God's law? Why are we not to slander? Well, it's to despise God's law, but even more so, it's to despise the Lord himself. Verse 12, it's to despise the lawgiver. God's law is not just simply an arbitrary list of rules. It's not simply a code of conduct that he gives to us and we're to check off the boxes. God's law is a reflection of himself. It's a reflection of our relationship to him. It shows us our love for him. He's the only lawgiver, and he sits above his law. His law, therefore, is good. It's the royal law, James 2:8. It's the perfect law of liberty, James 1:25. And those who gossip and slander are despising a good God. It's spitting in God's face, telling him, you don't have any right to tell me how to speak. I believe each of us know why we are not to slander and the reason, the severity of it, is to break the Ninth Commandment. So let's put most of our attention then on this question, the second question, how not to slander? What's the answer? Give us some help. It is one of the most difficult sins to watch for. James says the tongue is so difficult to control and because it's tied to our hearts. How can we apply these verses? Let me give you a grid, five principles or five questions that you can ask yourself. Keep these questions in your heart, even write them in the back of your Bible, a place that you can constantly be reflecting on our speech and listening. These aren't conclusive. There's other biblical principles, certainly. Love us to, our speech is to always be loving, always be with grace, and many other principles. But we're looking particularly at gossip, at slander. And here are the five questions. The first question, is it the truth? So turn with me to Psalm 15. Psalm 15, verse 2, who will dwell in your holy hill? What is the mark of the believer? Answer, verse 2, he who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart. We saw last time, this is a very strong expression. It's stronger than speaks truth from his heart. He speaks truth in his heart. It's not even speaks truth with his tongue, but he speaks truth in his heart. The very center of his being is focused on truth, and therefore whatever comes from it, including his speech, is truth. It's a parallel to walking blamelessly and does what is right. What are the duties required in the ninth commandment? Larger Catechism 144. The duties required in the ninth commandment are the preserving and the promoting of truth between man and man, standing for the truth from the heart. So last week, we spent the whole sermon just reflecting on this and applying this. What does it mean to speak the truth? And we saw that speaking the truth means that we must reflect on every word, every situation, every motive, every meaning of words. The deep subject, it's a rich subject. What does it mean to speak the truth? Are you certain of what you're saying, that it's really the truth? It's not innuendo, it's not hearsay, it's not exaggeration, it's not a white lie, it's not 80% of the truth. Are you sure? It's not just rumor. It's not because you've heard it from somebody that you thought was credible. It's not that you've seen it on the internet and therefore it must be true. You're not misquoting people. You're not assuming their motives when in fact you really don't know. You must not pass on a story unless you know it's the truth. Shameful use today of the email, the Facebook, people just passing on rumors and stories. Even to have websites to confirm whether this is a rumor or facts or true. Isn't it sad in the political process? You have to have a fact checker at the end of every speech. And even fact checkers are fact checkers. What a day that we're living in. Do you know that in 1887, the coffin of Abraham Lincoln had to be pried open to determine whether it really contained his body or not, because the rumors were so strong that the grave was empty? He's already been in that coffin for 22 years. So even more amazing that 14 years later after that, the rumors were again circulating that the coffin was empty, and they had to open his grave again to prove that his grave was not empty, his body was there. And they had to have a handful of witnesses to view the lifeless body of Abraham Lincoln. How do we avoid slander? How do we avoid gossip? Here's the first question, and we spent most of our time last week, so we want to move on from here. But here's the first question. Is it the truth? And are you sure it's the truth? Otherwise, you do not pass it on. The second question to help us, the second grid is, is it harmful? Does it lower someone's reputation? Does it lower their good name? Psalm 15, verse 3. Who does not slander with his tongue and does no evil to his neighbor, nor take up a reproach against his friend. The first word, no slander. I like the word from the King James, not a backbiter. Isn't that vivid? Somebody behind you biting your neck. This word comes, it's a spy that's spreading around defamation behind someone's back, spreading the scandal, or a reproach. Here, I like the NIV, no slur. The word even sounds like what it is. It's an old English word which means to drag slowly through the mud. You don't take somebody's name and reputation and drag it through the mud, even if it's true. No insulting, no defaming, no lowering somebody's reputation. Just because something is true doesn't give you the right to say it. There's an interesting comparison between the two accounts of the Ten Commandments on this ninth commandment. And the ninth commandment, when it's given in Exodus 20, verse 16, is you shall not bear false witness. And there the word that's used, the Hebrew word that's used, is false versus true, true and false. And that's the first question, is it absolutely true? But when Deuteronomy comes and the Holy Spirit repeats the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy 5:20, there's a different word that's used. And yes, it's translated still into English, false. But there the word false is the same word that's used for the third commandment. Don't use the Lord's name in vain. You don't speak frivolously, lightly, empty, hurtful ways about somebody's name. You don't, in the same way that you don't use the Lord's name that way. And so the Apostle Paul will write, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what's helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those. Don't let any unwholesome, none whatsoever. So Voss, I think, is right in the summary. He says the scope of the sins forbidden in the ninth commandment is whatever's contrary to the truth, that's the first question, and to the good name of any person. Whatever interferes with the preservation of the good name of another. Yes, the ninth commandment forbids all falsehood contrary to truth, but it also forbids all harm to someone's name and reputation, even if it's the truth. And we have to watch for all forms of it. You can break this commandment by innuendos, the slur by an innuendo done by a question. Is it true that teacher Mrs. Smith actually swore at the children today in class? Is that true what I heard? What have you done? You've cast a slur. You can lower someone's reputation by passing on information that may be true. Matthew Henry said, we must not speak evil of others, though they be true, unless there be some necessary occasion for it. Much less must we report evil things when they are false. This is why the rabbis considered slander is worse than idolatry, incest, or murder, because the moral consequences were as fully deadly, if not worse, and the crime was easily committed and not easily detected, and slander passed from mouth to mouth quickly, involving far more people in a very short time than idolatry, incest, or murder. The rabbis said that slander killed three people: the speaker, the one spoken to, and the person spoken about. Any speech that lowers somebody's reputation, their good name, their character, by the way you talk about them, even though it's the truth, is breaking the ninth commandment. The standard for the ninth commandment is far more than is it truth versus false. The ninth commandment forbids anything that causes to harm someone's reputation. It's not only contrary to the law, it's contrary to the gospel. When you know that you're a sinner and you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that on the cross he took our sins upon him and he was punished for our sins, and we trust him for the forgiveness and the pardon of sins, what else happens in justification? The righteousness of Jesus Christ is credited to us, received by faith alone, and so we stand before God. You stand before God in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I appreciated the prayer earlier this morning. Deepen our understanding and our love for our union with Christ. So that God the Father, when he looks at us, there's no innuendos, there's no suspicion, there's no jeopardy. You're standing in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So why would we treat other people differently? No harm to reputation. Because that's contrary to the gospel. Here's the filters for our speech so that we not break the ninth commandment. Question one, is it the truth? Are you sure it's the truth? Second question, is it harmful? Does it lower someone's reputation, even though it's the truth? Third question, is the person I'm talking to the person to solve the problem? And this itself breaks into two questions. The first is, does this person I'm talking to, do they even need to know? Is it their business? If it's not their business, then it might be the sin of overreaching or defrauding. 1 Thessalonians 4:6, let no man transgress and defraud his brother. It means to cross boundaries that are not your business. And usually the application is to sexual purity, arousing desires in somebody else that cannot be righteously satisfied. And the Bible says that if you cause the defrauding, you are guilty of breaking the seventh commandment. But the application is also to many other areas, including the tongue. If you're sharing information with somebody else and they don't need to know and it's not their business, and you're arousing in them sinful attitudes where they cannot be thinking well of this person anymore, or perhaps you're even raising anger in them, you've defrauded them. It's not their business to know. And you sharing that information with them, you are causing them to sin. But you're guilty because you're defrauding them. It may not be their business to know. Or it could be the sin of being a busybody. 1 Peter 4:15, let none of you suffer as a, look at the list, murderer, thief, evildoer. And what's in the list? Busybody in other people's matters. You don't know boundaries. You don't know the discipline of place. Improper interference when it's not your business. The purpose of speaking the truth to one another is so that we see relationship healed, so that we see situations resolved, not just so that we're simply sharing a story for the sake of spreading a story. Is the one I'm talking to, the person to solve the problem, first I need to ask, does this person even need to know? When is it most difficult for us to remember this? That's usually, isn't it, when the news we get is a news about it's big news, or it's emotional news, or it affects somebody you love, it affects your kids. When the emotions are aroused in you of pain or injustice or anger, it's very difficult to keep the tongue controlled. You think you can just let it loose. Or it can be when you feel you need to be affirmed, you need to be justified, you need people to affirm you that, oh, you've been hurt and you've been sinned against so badly. But if you are revealing somebody else's faults, even though they're true, but it's not the business of the person that you're talking to, you are breaking the ninth commandment. Do they even need to know? Martin Luther said there's a big difference between talking about sin and knowing sin. Is the person I'm talking to that even need to know? And then follows, is the person I'm talking to the one to solve the problem? Key word, solve. How do I expect this person to fix this? If the listener is not part of the problem and not part of the solution, if they don't even need to know, then what we are doing is gossiping, we're backbiting, we're casting a slur, we're not really resolving a problem. Perhaps we're just venting my anger, my contempt, my jealousy, my hatred, my pain. There is a legitimate time to talk about the faults of another and to use the courts that God has established, to speak in the civil courts, to speak in the church courts, or to even just speak in counseling to another person. But the purpose is to solve. And you're bringing up criticism, you're bringing up questions, you're bringing up sins of another, but it's for the purpose of solving. Matthew 18 says, when you see your brother or your sister sin, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to go to them one-on-one. And if you can't get the matter resolved, then you can speak to another person, but it's in order to get it resolved. You're including people in. And if you don't, there's to be no charge against an elder if there's not two or three witnesses, 1 Timothy 5:19, and that standard is for every believer. Question is my criticism going to the source? Is it solving the problem? If not, it's gossip, it's backbiting. You might be evaluating a teacher at school or your employer, speaking of your employer, what they did that day, or speaking of an elder or a deacon. What a bad job they did. What a bad decision they made. And it may be true. It may be a terrible decision. But is your critique going to get to the people who can solve it? If not, it's gossip. It's slander. How do we not break the ninth commandment? We need to ask ourselves these questions continually. Is it the truth? Am I sure that it's the truth? Secondly, is it harmful? Does it lower someone's reputation, even though it's the truth? Third, is this the person I'm talking to, the person to solve the problem? Fourth question, would I say this, or say it in the same way, or the same tone of voice, or the same emphasis? Would I say this if that person were present? Or if I'm writing it down, would I sign my name? That is the biblical principle of Matthew 18. If you see somebody has sinned, you're supposed to go to them one-on-one. And then if you can't resolve it, then you have to bring people in. And so, yes, if you're able to say, yes, I would say this if the person were present, because I've already gone to them, because I've already said these things to them in love and in prayer and tried to restore them and bring them to repentance. Of course, yes, I've already said it to them. Yes, I have no problem with sitting with them in the room. Or would you say it with the same tone of voice if they were present? What a helpful filter that is. Doesn't that make us stop and double check? Am I really sure it's what they said? Am I really sure it's the truth? Doesn't it help us temper it, make it kinder, more gracious, if we knew that they were listening in the room? We wouldn't just be dumping and venting. Four questions for us as the speaker. Is it the truth? Is it harmful? Is this person I'm talking to the one to solve it? Or fourth, would I say it if this person were present? The fifth question is, now we're going to switch roles. The fifth question is for you when you're listening. You know you can break the ninth commandment, do not bear false witness, by listening, never having said a word. The ninth commandment can be broken as a listener's. Proverbs 17:4, an evildoer listens to wicked lips. A liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. The Bible says you can be a liar by listening. Proverbs 26:20, without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. The audience is responsible for keeping the gossip going. Larger Catechism 145, what sins are forbidden in the ninth commandment? Receiving an evil report. You can break the ninth commandment by listening, never having said a word. So how do you not break the ninth commandment as a listener? You take these first four questions and you turn them around as a listener. You cannot ever listen to a conversation being completely passive. You have to always be involved, always actively listening, always asking questions, and asking these four questions as a listener. As a listener, you need to be asking yourself, as this person is talking to you, is this true? And you need to ask the person that. How do you know that this is true? Have you documented this? Where's your source? You can't just be silent, and you need to verify the facts as a listener. What a good question it would be is if somebody's told you a story and you've asked them, is it the truth? And they said, yep, it's the truth. And then you could say to them, all right, I'm going to go to Sam and I'm going to tell him what you just told me about him. Would he say the same thing? Would he verify that's actually what happened? Is it the truth? And secondly, as a listener, you must ask, is this harmful? Or is this person just venting? I don't need to hear this smear story. Yes, it might be true, but why am I being told this? If you say nothing when somebody is dumping a story on you, and they're speaking ill of another person, and you say nothing, and you're just silent, your silence is concurrence. Your silence is approval. That's frightening. You are saying if somebody tells you an evil report about someone, a slur, and you're dragging, somebody else is dragging somebody's name through the mud, and you're sitting there listening, and you say nothing, you are breaking the ninth commandment because you've allowed it to go on. Now, this person that's talking might have legitimate pain, might have legitimate confusion, might have legitimate discouragement. And then you simply say to them, please, no details, no names, no details. I want to help you with your discouragement. I want to help you with your pain, but the subject of our conversation is not person so-and-so who's caused it. Because I'm not the one to solve it. And that's the third question you need to ask yourself. Am I being told this because I'm expected to fix this? How am I supposed to solve this? Why am I being told this? And maybe you need to clarify. Are you telling me this because you've already gone to person so-and-so and there's not been repentance, so you're calling me now to go with you to restore them? Is that why? How do you want me to respond here? How do you want me to fix this? Why are you telling me this? Or you direct them to those who can fix it. And the fourth question, would this be said and in this way if that person were present? And that's where you ask, you know, you're talking about so-and-so. Have you gone to them? Have you spoken to them about these things? And why are you telling me? You must stop as a listener. You must stop that conversation lovingly, firmly. You must say there's boundaries here. If you in silence allow it to go on, then you have broken the ninth commandment as the listener. See, we're responsible in the ninth commandment. We're not only responsible for what we say, we're responsible for what we listen to. And we need to be prepared with an answer. You need to take this to the person who can solve this. And you need to follow up in a few days. You know that conversation we had last week and I suggested you go to so-and-so to get that matter resolved? Did you go? And the person says, oh, no, I decided not to. Then you need to confront them with gossip and slander because you weren't really serious about getting that resolved. You just wanted to vent. The Bible is very serious about this sin. And you can break the ninth commandment by being a speaker as well as a listener. How do we not break the ninth commandment? Is it the truth? Is it harmful? Is the person I'm talking to the one to solve the problem? And as I'm talking, would I say it this way if the person were present? And the fifth question, if I'm the listener, am I using the same four questions? The scope of the sins forbidden in the ninth commandment is whatever is contrary to the truth. And the good name of any person, whatever interferes with the preservation of the good name of another, just because something is true doesn't give you the right to say it or listen to it. No one ever has to learn to speak falsehood. We go forth from the womb speaking lies, Psalm 58, and no one has to learn to love to listen to gossip. It's like chocolate cake, kids. Proverbs 26:22 says, the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. It's like chocolate cake, German chocolate cake. Love German chocolate cake. Why are we so easily drawn to listen to defamation, to listen to the sins of others? Why does these sorts of stories sell? Why do they spread so fast on the internet? It's like cake. It's like chocolate cake. It's feeding our sinful hearts. And this is why we need God's law. The conclusion to every one of the Ten Commandments is, you need a Savior. You're never going to be saved on your own righteousness, your own merit. Every one of the Ten Commandments is that. That's the application, especially the Ninth Commandment. You're not going to be saved by your own goodness. You break the Ninth Commandment. I break the Ninth Commandment all the time. That's a good thing. so that we never reach that place, that plateau, thinking, well, I'm pretty good before God and before other people. God's law comes, and God, not to crush us, but God's law comes as that surgical knife, and he says, look at your heart, look at your tongue. Why? So that you come to Christ for the forgiveness of sins again and again and again. We need more of Christ all of our lives. And you have Christ all of your life. Pray that prayer. May the union with Christ become more precious to us. He's paid for all of our sins. We stand in the righteousness of Christ. That's our merit. Have you been sinned against with the ninth commandment? I'm sure we all have. You've been lied about. You've been slandered. Your name's been dragged through the mud. It's hard to, when that happens, to forgive. It's very hard to trust people again. It's hard not to become cynical and closed up. One veteran missionary of 35 years said he would rather be a bit too trusting and be taken advantage of occasionally than to become so cynical that he would not trust anyone anymore. And he's right. Forgiveness is to cover a multitude of sins. General Stonewall Jackson was perhaps the most brilliant attack strategist in the Confederate Army. He received his title, Stonewall, at Bull Run in July of 1861 when his command stood like a stone wall. He led his troops in victories at Fort Royal, Cedar Mountain, Harper's Ferry, Fredericksburg, Chancellorsburg. It said that as long as he and General Robert E. Lee, the counterattack genius, fought together, they never lost a battle. So Stonewall Jackson's death was a tragedy. It was an accident. It was on the evening of his victory at Chancellorsville. He was fired on and fatally wounded by a patrol party of his own men who mistook him and his staff for a detachment of the Union cavalry. The death of the general was irreparable loss to the Confederate Army, and from that point on, the course of the war went downward for the South. A brilliant general shot down by his own men. That's what gossip is. God's people shot down by our own people. It's to side with Satan, the accuser of the brothers. May no harmful speech ever be found on our lips. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Shall we pray? Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we confess that we do so quickly want to feel a status quo, that things are fine between us and you and us and before others, and we are good and moral and upright people. And then your law comes and shows us we've got a long way to go. We've got many more areas to repent of and to conform to the likeness of Christ, and we are grateful for your law. And we are so grateful that we stand pardoned by the work of Christ. We stand under his righteousness. So there's no accusation, there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. May we more and more treat others in that same way. No slur, no defamation upon one another. Our Father, we pray that we might more and more love your church and be conformed to the likeness of Christ. We pray that you will apply your word to us today. Perhaps there's things we need to confess, relationships need to be restored, and hold these principles deep in our hearts that we might have them to apply in every conversation that we're listening and talking. We pray in Jesus' name.